Well, it's back to church Sunday. And when you mention the word church, people have a lot of images that come through their mind. For some, they have childhood memories, and it was a great experience. For others, they say, I really don't know a whole lot about church. For some people, they put church in a box. They go ahead and label it as something that's really not for them. Maybe something that's a little boring or maybe just not that interesting. I read a cute story the other day about a Sunday school teacher taking her class from the Sunday school room where they had gathered, and she was bringing them into the service to go ahead and participate for just a few moments. And the teacher turned and looked at her class real quick, and she said, okay, boys and girls, why do we need to be quiet? And one little girl quickly replied, because there's a whole lot of people sleeping. Well, today I hope that you don't sleep. I hope that you find what we come for today, and that is hope. You know, when we look around our world today, we see hurricanes, we see earthquakes, we see the threat of nuclear war. We see families struggling with all kinds of issues at an all-time high. We see all kinds of conflict, and we look and we say, is there an answer? Is there a way out? Will it ever be any different, or will it ever be any better? We look at it and we say, how's my life going to improve? How is my life going to change? It's kind of like the old Peanuts cartoon that was a cartoon of Snoopy, and Snoopy comes on and you see this cloud, and he's just thinking, and he says, yesterday I was a dog, today I'm a dog, tomorrow I'm probably going to be a dog. I don't see much hope for advancement. You know, there's a lot of people right now in their life that are right there. They look at yesterday, they look at today, they anticipate what tomorrow is going to be, and they say, I don't see a lot of hope. Well, you know, when people think about church, instinctively, something on the inside of them, they may have had a bad experience, they may have went to one that wasn't great for them, or they may have been gone for a while. But do you know what people actually think of when you ask them and they get genuine about church? They think of church as a place of hope. This week, I've received multiple phone calls from people that don't go to church, but they've called the church and they've said, you know what, we need prayer. Do you attend someplace? No, but we just need prayer. There's some things going on right now, and we need prayer. They understand that the church instinctively is supposed to be a place of hope. What does that mean? That we ought to have a message of hope. That we ought to go ahead and not only have a message of hope, but we ought to be willing to demonstrate hope. You know, this morning, I received a reminder that we need to pray for Bill Hawkins because he's battling some infection. I received a prayer request from the McClellan family because they are struggling with some sickness and unable to be here today. I received prayer requests from people in Florida and other places that are connected to us, and they're saying, would you please pray? Why? Because they understand instinctively in their gut that the church is to be a place of hope. I can't emphasize enough that our community and the surrounding areas need harmony to be a place of hope. They need the church to be a place of hope. But not only do they need the church to be a place of hope, they need the church to be a people of hope. Sometimes when people think of the church, they think of it as a place and they limit it to a building. But you and I understand that the church isn't just a building. It's often a building where we gather and where we meet. But the church is about people. Do you know what Jesus said about the people of the church? Jesus said that we're to be salt and light. Do you know what salt does? Salt preserves and protects. Salt adds something different. And when people think about the church, do you know what they instinctively think? They instinctively think people that follow Jesus and people that are Christ followers ought to have something different about them. They think that it ought to be a place of hope with a message of hope, but they think the people ought to be able to go ahead and live out that hope. Let me ask you something. Right now, if you're a Christ follower this morning, does your life look like you're a person of hope? Or maybe you're right there and you say, you know what, quite honestly, John, there doesn't seem to be a lot of hope in my life right now. Do you know that when somebody looks at a Christian, they just instinctively expect us to have hope? They expect people of Christ to have an answer, to be able to offer a better way. Jesus said, we're supposed to be salt and light, but he also said that we're supposed to be light so people can see in dark times. And you know what? With the hurricanes and the earthquakes, with the threat of a nuclear war, with the struggles going on continually in people's lives and it's seeming that we can't escape those struggles, do you know what? People need the people of Christ to be a people of hope. And that's what people think about when they think about the church, a place of hope, people of hope. Why? Because we have a message of hope. We have some thoughts about hope. But for the next several weeks, we're going to be talking about the person of hope. Because this is a place of hope, and you and I can be people of hope only through the person of hope. Some people are looking for hope today, and they think, man, if I get the right job, if I connect my life to the right person, if I get that advancement, if I get that home, if I get that car, my life is going to be different. And the reality is this, Jesus says our life is different, and we have hope when we engage and get to know the person of hope. And that person of hope is Jesus Christ. Let's take a look at what the Apostle Paul has to say about hope. Because Paul was one who knew what it was like to live a life as rough as you could possibly live. He knew what it was like to go ahead and kind of describe himself as the chief of all sinners. Paul says, if there was ever a person that was beyond hope, it was me. If there was ever a person that had been through struggles and battles and situations where you just didn't feel like it could ever get any better, Paul says, it was me. But in Colossians chapter 1, here's what he begins to say about hope. And here's how he describes himself and the message of hope. Let's go ahead and take a look at Colossians chapter 1. And in Colossians chapter 1, we're going to go ahead and look at these verses. In verse number 26, here's what it says. It says, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. He says, we've all been searching for something for quite a while. He says, there's this mystery, and it's been hidden. We've been searching for it, and we didn't have the answer, and we were trying to go after it. He says, now it's been revealed to his saints. His saints, not those that are perfect, not those that have every answer, but those that know Jesus Christ. You see, when we think about saints, we think about that old person that we think has the perfect life, or we think about that person that always has the right answer and always does the right thing. But Paul writes and he says, look, a saint is someone who knows Jesus Christ. He continues, and he says, to them, God willed to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among even those, the Gentiles, the people that were looked down upon, the people that were of a different background. He says, look, God wanted to make it known, and he says, the riches of this one he's getting ready to describe. And then he says this, which is Christ in you. And then he says, the hope of glory. Paul says, Christ in you. That's the hope of glory. You see, when Paul tells us something about hope, he begins to point to Jesus. He doesn't point to any other place. He doesn't point to any other person. He doesn't point to your background. He doesn't point to what you have done or what you haven't done. He says it doesn't matter where you fit. This mystery brings hope, and this mystery has a name, and his name is Jesus. We read in verse number 28. He says, him we preach. Paul says, this is my hope. This is what I'm holding on to. He says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you know what Paul says? Paul tells us a little bit about hope. And the first thing that I want us to understand this morning is this. Some of us are searching for hope today. People everywhere, all across the land, all across the world, they want hope because what they have is not working. You know what Paul says? Paul says that hope has a name, and that name is Christ Jesus. Some of you are searching for hope today, and can I just tell you this? You want life to be better? Life starts getting better by realizing that hope has a name. Paul says that name is Paulus's. Paul says that name is Christ Jesus. He says, Christ in you. Do you know what Paul is saying? Paul is saying hope comes from a relationship that's centered on Jesus. But then he says this, that hope that's from the relationship is inside of you. Do you know what Paul was saying? Paul was saying there's nothing you can lay your hands on. There's nothing you can reach out and grab. There's nothing you can relocate to that's going to go ahead and give you hope. Paul says the one hope that we all have access to is the Christ that will come and be our Savior, will be our forgiver, will be the one that will change our life. He says, church at Colossae, you're people that have struggles, you're people that are searching for answers, and you've tried a lot of things, but can I just remind you of something? Your hope is not found somewhere else or in something else. Your hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. He says, you know what? Let me tell you about that hope. He says, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. He says that hope starts off and that hope just continues to get better. You see, Jesus gives you something for right here, but Jesus gives you something for a little later down the road. And in verse number 28, he says this, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Jesus Christ. Do you know what Paul says? Paul is saying, look, we tell people about Jesus, and we tell him that he is the hope, because this is a hope that not only forgives, this is a hope that not only offers salvation, but he says this is a hope that strengthens you, it grows you, and one day you will be perfect in that hope. You see, some of us long for a perfect life right now. We like our life to be just a little bit better. And here's what Paul says. Paul says the path to that perfect life starts with Jesus. And Jesus is our hope. And that hope will go ahead and rise up inside of us. And that hope will eventually be complete when we see him. But right now, it works. Right now, it strengthens you. Right now, it grows you. Right now, it carries you through the moment, and it carries you through the day. And Paul says, we're going to tell everybody about it. You know, the Bible says there's no other name whereby we can be saved. It's Jesus. The Bible says that we can try other things, but it's not going to work. And do you know what the Bible says about hope? Way back in the Old Testament, Isaiah, the prophet stands before Israel, people that are trying to find their way in life and people that are trying to go ahead and answer questions. And here's what Isaiah says in Isaiah 49 and verse number 23. He says, those who hope in me will not be disappointed. Do you know one of the reasons there's so much disappointment in families today? You know the reason there's so much disappointment on the job today? In relationships today, why there's so much disappointment even in the church and in our culture and society, it's because we go ahead and we place our hope in things, in places, and in people. And Paul comes back and says, I want you to understand that people are imperfect. I want you to understand that while a place may have some good things to offer you, they cannot go ahead and replace the hope that is founded and rooted and centered in Christ Jesus. And he says, you know what? When we begin to know Jesus Christ and we make him our hope, we will not be disappointed. He says, it's not going to go ahead and let us down. Paul says hope has a name. But do you know when he tells us that it's Christ in you and the hope of glory? He says, Christ in you, it's that relationship. It's what comes from the inside and rises up. But then he says this. He says it's the hope of glory. He literally means it's going to go ahead and give us the power to live this life. You see, some of us might think that hope is just an emotional feeling. We might think that hope is just one of those things that makes us feel good so that we can get through the day, so that we can kind of endure the moment. But here's what Paul says. Paul says, look, hope gives us the power for life. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, here's what he says in verse number 17. He says this about the resurrection of Jesus. He says that if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. He says it's worthless. It's to no avail. He says you're still in your sins, meaning you don't have the hope of forgiveness. You don't have the hope of eternal life. You don't have the hope of salvation. But then he says this, then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. He says there's no hope for you, but there's no hope for those that have already passed, those that have already died. And then here's what he says, and if in this life only we have hope in Christ, get this, he says, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most pitiable, miserable. We're going to be searching. He says, if all we have is a hope that's not real, we're going to go ahead and have misery. And do you know what? There's a lot of people in life that are miserable. There's a lot of people in life that truly are miserable. And there's an old saying that says this, misery loves company, right? There's a lot of people that don't have any hope and they're just miserable and they want you to be miserable as well. Well, Paul says, look, I don't want you to be miserable. He says, I don't want us to go ahead and be pitiable. I don't want people to look at us and think, wow, they have no hope. Here's what he goes on to say. He says, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the firstfruits of those who have fallen asleep. He says, but Christ is risen, and because Christ is risen, there's more of that to come. So there's hope for you and there's hope for me. Paul goes on to describe the struggles of his life. Paul goes on to talk about how he's been forsaken by people, how life has been difficult and hard at times, what it's like to suffer loss, what it's like to feel like you're alone. But then he comes back and he says, you know what, in spite of all of these feelings, hope in Jesus gives me the power to live. Today, some of us want hope to be able to navigate the circumstances of life. Paul says, hope has a name, and that name is Jesus, because it's Jesus that gives us the power for life. He says, if we don't have a hope, we have a reason to be miserable. He says, but we do have a hope, so we don't have to be miserable. What's he saying? In the toughest points of our life, in the biggest moments of letdown and sorrow and hurt and grief or anger or of not knowing what to expect, he writes and says, look, you can go ahead and have a hope in those circumstances. I don't know about you, but there's been some times in my life where I needed some hope for the power to go ahead and get through life. And in the weeks ahead, we're going to be talking about that. Paul says, look, this Christ in you thing, it gives you power for life. Why? Because hope has a name. Because hope has a name. And the church is supposed to go ahead and be a place of hope, filled with people of hope, pointing to the person of hope. We need to go ahead and have a hope that's reimagined. If I could just ask you for just a second, just take hope and reimagine. Hope, reimagine. What does hope look like to you? For some of us, we think hope truly is something that's outside of us. We go ahead and tie hope to many things. But do you realize that in the conversations that Jesus had, Jesus said, look, you're not going to find hope in money. He told the rich young ruler, you really want to find hope? Let go of all of it. He told some Pharisees, you really want to find hope? Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. It's the first and great commandment, and love your neighbor as yourself. He said that'll help you take hold of hope. You see, we're programmed to think that hope might be on the outside of us. It might be something that we reach out and grab, something that'll make us feel better, something that we can take hold of. But here's the reality. Jesus himself says, look, let's take a moment to go ahead and reimagine hope. What does hope look like for you? Because right now, some of you would say, I need hope. I've got some things that I think are bigger than me. I got some struggles I'm just having a hard time dealing with. And quite honestly, hope looks like this. For some, they're saying, you know, honestly, the house payment and the car payments and all of those things are adding up, and it's adding up to more than what's available. And right now, hope looks to me like a raise. Hope looks to me like something in the financial realm. And while some of those things might think that they're going to give us hope, Jesus says, look, we need to reimagine hope. We need to reimagine hope for our families. We need to reimagine hope for our lives. Jesus says hope has a name. Paul said, hope has a name, and that hope is Christ in you. And some of us just imagine our life as worthless and meaningless, and we think there's really not much value in us. Paul says, when Christ is in you, you have the riches of glory that are in you. He says, when Jesus forgives you, not only does it open up the door to your heart, but it opens up the door to heaven and all that heaven possesses. Paul says hope is real. He says hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And because of Jesus, we can have the power to live life. Because of Jesus, we can reimagine hope. We can move beyond the immediate need. He said hope puts first things first. He says, look, this is Christ in you, the hope of glory. When we think about hope, have you ever searched for hope and you thought you might find it somewhere and you didn't find it there and then you thought you might find it somewhere else? You know what? In the days ahead, we're going to talk about hope, putting first things first. You know what Paul said in Colossians, verse number 28? He said, look, we could go ahead and tell people about a lot of things, but he says, him we preach. He says, we put Jesus first, and we talk about who he is and what he is, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom. Everything we know about Jesus, we go ahead and build upon. Why? Because he's the answer. If he was the answer in their day, he's the answer in our day. You see, hope often brings a different perspective. Paul said hope has a name, and we need to give Jesus that room in our life. He says we're going to go ahead and teach everyone about him. That's what we're going to talk about, because Jesus is hope. But then he also tells us that often hope brings a different perspective. He says Jesus changes how you look at life. Jesus changes how we look at life. And sometimes until we change our perspective, we're not going to realize the fullness of hope that we have from Jesus. You see, sometimes we only see what we can't do, or we see the circumstances that are way bigger than we are, and we see the hurt, and we see the pain, we see the grief, we see the sorrow, we see the loss, we see the struggle. That's all that we can see. But Jesus brings a different perspective. And Paul writes, and he says, look, I want you to understand that it's Christ in you. That is the hope of glory. That's the hope for then. That's the hope for now. We need to take a different perspective. Some of us know Jesus as our Savior, but we don't look at Jesus as our hope. We're going to talk about a different perspective and how you and I can go ahead and take a perspective of hope. A perspective of Jesus, and get our eyes on him. and look at life in a different way. Maybe we need to be reminded that hope empowers us or enables us to fail forward. A lot of times when people fail, a lot of times when people mess up their life, a lot of times when people sin, they say, man, this is it. I don't know how many people I've talked to over the years that would just say, you know what, John, God could never do anything in someone's life like mine because you don't know what I have done. Can I tell you something? No matter when you've done it, no matter where you've done it, no matter how you've done it, the Bible says that Jesus Christ is more than capable of forgiving all of your sins. And not only does it say he's more than capable, it says he's more than willing. That's why he came and walked on this earth, and that's why he lived his life, so that he could die for you and he could die for me, so that we could go ahead and have a hope that enables us to be able to move forward. In spite of our faults, in spite of our failures, in spite of the poor decisions we make, the big sins that we commit that people know about, the little things that go unseen, hope enables us to fail forward. And some of you might be in the midst of a failure right now. Some of you might be in the midst of a struggle right now, and you're saying, look, how can I get forward out of this mess? Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the one that can give us that hope. Hope has a way of opening conversations. You see, Christ in you, the hope of glory. He says it gives us the riches of his wisdom, the riches of his grace, the riches of all that heaven has to offer. Do you realize that since hope has a name, and that name is Jesus, that means that hope can take place in conversations? You can find hope right now by talking to Jesus. You can find hope right now by having a conversation. And the weeks ahead, we're going to look at how hope changed some people's life simply through a conversation with God and the power of prayer. Today, you might be here and you might say, John, honestly, I want to tell you, I need hope in my life because I'm battling this and I'm trying to take care of that, and I don't know what to do right here, and all around me everything looks uncertain and I just feel hopeless. Charles Swindoll said this: the body can go weeks without food, days without water, moments without oxygen, but never without hope. And can I tell you something? When we look at our life, some of us are on that verge of losing hope. Hope is wavering. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of people all around. And for the next several weeks, we're going to be inviting each one of you to come back to hope. Because hope has a name, and that name is Jesus. And today, if you feel like you need hope, I want you to know that it starts with Jesus. It starts by having a relationship with him. Paul said, Christ in you, that just simply means that Christ lives in us and he lives with us. We may not be able to see him, but I promise you, he's there when we trust him as our Savior. When we come to a place where we say, Jesus, I believe that you died. I'm asking you to forgive my sins, and I'm asking you to be my hope. He will be your hope. Some of you are looking for hope. Hope has a name. And it's Jesus. People outside these walls are looking for hope. They come to the church because they expect it to be a place of hope. They expect us to be people of hope. And they need the person of hope. Today, I want to invite you to go ahead and find hope in that person, Jesus. But I also want to invite you to go on this journey with us as we talk about hope. That hope that has a name, and how we can go ahead and take this hope, release it into our life, and release it in the lives of other people and help them to know that hope has a name. Would you pray with me for just a moment? In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation, a time where if you want to come and pray, if you want to come and ask God to help you with hope in your life, it's the time to do that. Maybe you would want to come and say, Lord, I just need your help. I need to have a conversation with you right now. John said that prayer can bring hope, and I need to have that conversation with you. Don't wait to do it later. You can just do it right now. You can do it right where you are. But if you want to come and pray, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe you're searching for hope in a specific area of your life. Maybe you would just come and have a conversation with God about that. Maybe you're here today and you say, John, you talked about hope having a name, and his name is Jesus. And quite honestly, I'd like to know more about Jesus because I feel like I need hope. And there's never been a time in my life where I've met Jesus and I've placed my hope and faith in him. Maybe today you would like to do that. If that's you, in just a moment when we begin to sing, other people will come to pray. There'll be other people here to pray with you if you would like them to, and they'd be happy to take the Bible and show you how you can know for certain that Jesus wants to be your Savior, and how you can invite him to be your Savior. Whatever your need might be, I just invite you to respond to God as he kind of gives you that inner desire to in your heart. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. Most importantly, I invite you to respond to God's direction.